Collar is here. Purple Insider available to you on the what we like to call the internets. We just had an S. What the heck? It's worth it. Mailbag today, profiles of Brian Flores and the defense, interviews, good stuff, good coverage on day of game, Sunday at Lambeau. Right afterwards, check it out, Purple Insider. Matthew is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Is that a little buzz out there from TCO, or are you just at a random park playing basketball?
No, I am at TCO Performance Center, but I'm just walking through the parking lot here, and someone's playing music loud. So it's not exactly the TCO football buzz here. They're done with practice, the hay's in the barn, and everybody's ready to go play the Green Bay Packers.
Is that Seifert? Is Seifert playing music? Is that what's going on?
Yeah. I think he was playing a little DMX and Jay-Z. Although I did hear earlier this week that he is a big fan of Weird Al, so we talked about it. Yeah. Seifert and I have agreed to go to a Weird Al concert next year.
Put him on hold. Put him on hold. I mean,
cut him off.
I mean, can we get Gesslin on? Who else? I mean, you're not going to a Weird Al. You just said this to appease Seifert, right? Like, you're waiting for KOC to come out. You're talking. You don't really mean this, do you?
No, I do. I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. I mean, I like comedy. I like music. And who is better at combining the two?
About a million people.
Maybe Yankovic.
Maybe 5 million, 10 million, 15, 20 million. Is Sloan being held hostage? Is that why you've agreed to this?
No, I mean, just eat it. How funny is that? That's so funny.
Dave, funny?
Nope.
No. Mm-mm. Seifert is obsessed with him, though. I have also talked to him about this. I feel like he's talked to like half of Minnesota about his obsession with Weird Al. How are you arriving at Lambeau Field? Is this a drive? You driving by yourself? You driving with other reporters? What's going on?
Well, it's a good thing that Weird Al has a lot of albums that I could put in and listen to on the trip I have a particular strategy that I've developed over the years where on Saturday I go halfway there, stay in a hotel halfway, then on Sunday morning I drive to Green Bay because I hate the fact that Appleton is not that close from Green Bay, and if you want to stay in Green Bay, it's so expensive. And well, Purple Insider is thriving with a 3-0 start.
I know that.
You know, I don't want to spend that much to stay in a hotel in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
So you're cheap. That's what we're hearing. You're cheap. That's what's going on.
Well, No. I'm strategic. I am not cheap. Okay. So that's how I usually plan it out. Plus, then I can catch Georgia, Alabama.
Yeah, maybe, that should be pretty good. I understand that. Okay, let's get to injuries first. Jordan Love, limited participant in practice, including today. Your spidey sense tells you who will be the quarterback Sunday for the Packers.
I think that Jordan Love's going to play because it's a big game. And the fact that the Vikings are 3-0 has to play into this, where Green Bay's got to be looking at it saying, this might be a race to the very finish here, and there might be a playoff spot on the line. And remember, it wasn't too long ago that the Packers were going up against the Lions in the final week of the season and lost, and then gave up a playoff spot. That's got to be in the back of their minds that this could come down to, you know, December 29th, they play again at U.S. Bank Stadium. This is your big opportunity at Lambeau Field. It is Lambeau. It's not a turf field, so maybe that could play into thinking Jordan Love. But at the same time, I mean, you know, Malik Willis has played really well. And I do think that the way that the Packers have played with Malik Willis might be possibly more effective than some other offenses against Brian Flores, because the one thing that we haven't really seen them prove is that they could stop the run, because when have they had to stop the run? Mm-hmm. San Francisco went for 100 yards at 5 yards a carry for their running back. We didn't even notice go ahead, get your 5 yards because the clock's clicking down. But when it comes to a game that's maybe closer or better played and you're on the road, if a team can control the football, it might be really effective for them. I still think they're going to try to run the ball a lot, but probably do so with Jordan Love because they need this one.
You aren't suggesting that Josh Jacobs is having a better year than Aaron Jones, are you? Although I'm looking at the Josh Jacobs numbers right now. They're good. 278 rushing yards in three games, averaging 4.5. That's impressive. Jones still slightly better, but that is an interesting point. If you're not behind right away and you still have your assortment, what can an offense do if they show a little bit more balance as opposed to they fall behind?
Right, exactly. And I think that if there's anything that Matt LaFleur is really, really brilliant at, it's dialing up a run game. And, you know, we saw that in the playoffs last year against Dallas and against San Francisco, that they were so effective at creating good situations for Jordan Love because they were able to play it off the run. And I think that they went out and spent on Josh Jacobs for a reason, because he is younger than Aaron Jones. He doesn't have as much mileage on it. And I think they wanted to lean on their running back pretty heavily this year. They had been kind of switching Aaron Jones in and out with A.J. Dillon, and Dillon was just never really that great of a running back. So now they've got somebody who's a little more dynamic. And we might see Malik Willis mix into the game if Jordan Love does start, just to add that Navy offense or Air Force offense to what they're doing and be able to give the Vikings different looks. And this is it's a legitimate challenge for the Vikings, not knowing who they're going to get, how much to focus on the run, because you have to have two different game plans. It's very rare that a backup quarterback is wildly different than the starter, but that actually is the case with Malik Willis. So that is a different challenge that they haven't faced either this year.
Willis played, what, one or two plays in the first game, the Brazil game, came in very late. It is pretty startling just to look at Willis's numbers for two games in a series where he's 25 of 34 in two games. 25 of 34. That's not a lot of throws.
No, it isn't. And it speaks to the way that Matt LaFleur was able to alter their offense and use a lot of deception in the run game, a lot of different concepts in the run game that kind of had opponents' heads spinning. Although I will say, they only beat Indianapolis by, what was it, maybe like 6 points or something? I mean, Yeah. They didn't. They ran for a million yards and just didn't really put up a lot of points. And then Tennessee might draft number one next year. They're just really bad.
Yep.
Which is another factor here, too. How much credit are we giving the Green Bay Packers as a complete team when they have had two of the easier games on their schedule to start the season? But what I've been really impressed with is Jordan Love pushes the football down the field because he has a fantastic arm. They have not done that with Malik Willis. They've actually used a lot of short, quick passing with him. So they were able to flip a switch to go to their backup quarterback, which I think a lot of people wanted to see KOC do with Josh Dobbs last year, and he didn't want to do that. I'm just saying that maybe there was some validity to that, as we've seen Malik Willis be so good, but maybe some of those concepts that have worked so well with Willis end up carrying over to Jordan Love to get their shorter pass game going and their run game going. I mean, I think that this Packers offense is deep with talent and could be very difficult for this Vikings team, probably the most difficult that they've faced so far.
Just to button up Willis, and I'm with you, I still think we're going to see Love. 12 for 114 in running the ball. The guy's averaging 9.5 yards a carry. Stunning. Also, Harrigan, you might want to put it out there. Sounded like caller was calling for KOC's head. Isn't that what you heard when he didn't use Josh Dobbs, right? That it's time to let Kevin O'Connell go. Wow.
Yeah, I think the defensive coordinator in Dallas, they should hire him after last night. But to your point, Malik Willis, when he was coming out in the draft, he was talked about as maybe the most prolific running quarterback to come into the NFL since Lamar Jackson. And now Jaden Daniels kind of took over that title. But the reason that he was not drafted higher is that when you watched him in college, he was just very slow to identify stuff. And in the NFL, if you're slow, you're just going to get sacked over and over. So what Matt LaFleur has done is said, we're going to run with you a ton, and we're going to get the ball out of your hands almost immediately and maybe let you push the ball down the field one or two times, and that's really it. But the Vikings have so much talent on the defensive line, outside linebackers, versatile players. I don't know if you can just live on a short passing game if they have to do that. And we haven't seen anyone push the ball effectively down the field consistently against this team either. So this is one heck of a matchup, man. I mean, this is about as good as you get for a new score here.
Let's pause. That's Matthew Coller. He's the czar of Purple Insider. It's a must follow. Must read if you care about the Vikings. We'll talk about the return of Jordan Addison, Jefferson, and his battle with Alexander, and also talk about the Lynx and what Nafisa Collier did. 40-point average in two games and played all around. And, oh, by the way, was named Defensive Player of the Year. You're pretty good if you're Defensive Player of the Year and in two games of the first round series, you scored 80 points. That's impressive. Back with Collier in moments. Matthew Coller, Purple Insider, back with us. Am I wrong? Next segment. The number one draft choice returns the Vikings from last year's draft, Jordan Addison. He was very good last year. Injured during camp, then is ready for the Giants, then injures an ankle. He's ready to go. He's played well against the Packers before. Tell me what he adds and what this does to Jalen Naylor, considering how well he's played through the first three games.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking to myself today that it may have been a little blessing in disguise because now Jalen Naylor has a ton of confidence that he can be a dude for this team. The catch that he made against San Francisco on that bullet from Darnold that was behind him and he had to spin around and grab it, very impressive. And then the touchdown in the back of the end zone, I mean, that was trust from the quarterback. And also fighting off the defender, making the catch. I mean, he's really shown some great ability in these last couple weeks. And now they know he can do it and that they can dial up stuff for him. I feel like they have a real number three wide receiver now when I wasn't sure about that going into the season. But Addison is on a different level. I mean, this is a first-round draft pick. He's one of the best route runners in the NFL. He is great at the spectacular catch. Where it doesn't have to be right on. I mean, he can go up over somebody and get it. And the fact that he wasn't even limited at all in practice today is also a good sign as well, because I think that means that I'm sure it's a little sore, but not trying to fight through something, that it's healed and he's back at 100% and ready to go. They now look like they are a TJ Hockenson away from making an argument for the best group of weapons that you're going to find in the NFL, which, if we're tying everything back to Sam Darnold's performance, this only helps. The only concern I have really for Darnold is the guys up front for Green Bay and the pressure, and are they going to be able to hold up against the amount of pressure that Green Bay can create? But Jordan Addison helps that, because I feel like he is good as an underneath wide receiver where you need a 7-yard out route. Bang, Jordan Addison will get open and get that for you. And I think that's what Sam Darnold has maybe lacked in his career for weapons, as guys where he could just trust dropping straight back and finding them, and now he has three of them.
So you're saying, if healthy, Jones, Hockenson, Jefferson, Addison, Naylor, those are the best weapons of any team in the league. I'm just trying to think. Like, where if McCaffrey's healthy with San Francisco, and it's McCaffrey, Kittle, Samuel, Ayuk, and I'm forgetting the third guy who's also very good.
Jennings,
exactly. He's excellent. You like the Vikings better than the 49ers? I mean, even if you're in the conversation, it's awfully impressive, but you think the Vikings are number one?
I think that's very close. It is, and the fact is that San Francisco's guys are always banged up.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's true. Always.
You know, McCaffrey, if you're talking about last year, okay, well, obviously McCaffrey's one of the best players in the league last year, but he hasn't even played yet. I mean, it's
Debo's always hurt.
Right, exactly. And Kittle is banged up a lot too. So I do think that there is a very good argument for that, especially if Naylor could be a deep threat as well. But the fact that we're even having that discussion,
yeah, it's impressive.
I mean, that really shows you how good it is. And gosh, we spent all this time talking about, you know, Kevin O'Connell, and of course what he's done is remarkable with Sam Darnold. But number 18, I mean, that's the guy who's driving the success, right?
Yeah,
and the fact and we just can't downplay Aaron Jones' role in this either. I mean, this is somebody who has brought them instantaneously a dangerous run game, a screen game, a pass protection assistance in this game. They were missing out on a lot last year, I think, is what Aaron Jones is showing us.
Okay, we know Darrisaw is off to just a spectacular start, playing as well as any left tackle in football. Seems like O'Neal is as solid as ever. Correct me on either one, but I'm more curious about how the three guys in the middle have played, and you mentioned it. Packers have an impressive defensive line and the ability to put pressure on. Where are we at this year with Blake Brandel, Garrett Bradbury, and Ed Ingram?
Yeah, it hasn't been ideal. It's sort of funny because the guy with the least amount of experience has been by far the best of the three, and that's Blake Brandel. The way that, with his size, he double-team blocks with Christian Darrisaw in the run game has been something to see. I mean, it's like a mountain moving people on that left side, so that's been a huge asset. Bradbury's been good in the run game, but he's dealing with a knee and an ankle injury that he's had at different times over these first few games. I think you really started to see that last week, and then it's Kenny Clark week, so everyone be terrified. And as far as right guard, it sounds like Dalton Risner is on his way back, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's on his way to the starting lineup. Ingram has been as bad as any right guard we've seen in the last 10 years, and there's been a lot of bad right guards over the last 10 years for this team.
Yeah.
It's just that you keep waiting and you keep waiting for the next step, the development. It's just not there. I think the quick losses happen way too often. And this is the thing to be terrified of the Green Bay Packers. They will bring in their first-round pick, Lucas Van Ness, and rush him up the middle. They have Devontae Wyatt, first-round pick. They'll rush him. Kenny Clark has ruined Vikings games against the Packers in previous years. And then they'll blitz dudes as well. I really think that it's a massive concern in this game, and there's no answer when both of them are struggling. I think if one of them is struggling, you can help out a little bit, but if both are getting beat consistently, there's really nothing you can do. So they're going to have to get the ball out quick, I think, a lot in this game against the Packers, and use, you know, the rollouts, deception, those, all the different tools at their and screens to try to slow them down a little bit, because I just don't think they're going to win that matchup.
Okay, let's talk links. You pay close attention to the WNBA. Saw a picture. You were there for game two.
Yep.
It was the Collier show. I mean, it was just brilliant. So 38 one game, 42 another. A lot of scoring. Finally, some better Lynx defense, second half, game two. So she averages 40 points for two games. She's named Defensive Player of the Year. She gets 66 of the 67. Second place votes for MVP in the league. What impresses you most about it? And then I saw your tweet the other day saying about time she gets more attention. If she gets 66 of the 67 second place MVP votes, isn't she drawing a fair amount of attention?
Yeah, I just don't think that there's a whole lot of discussion about her as being one of the best players in the league. I think that a lot of the attention went to one player this year in the WNBA. So I'd like to see it distributed a little bit more to the other stars in the league. But, you know, when Nafisa Collier was drafted, she's taken out of UConn. She wins Rookie of the Year. And, of course, everyone goes, oh, she's our next Maya Moore. And my thought was, come on, guys, don't do that to her. That's not fair. That's the GOAT.
Nobody really projected her as a superstar, right? They said solid player,
yeah.
Six pick, she's going to start, you can win with her, but nobody thought she was a superstar of this caliber, correct?
100%. Yep, 100%. I think that people thought this is a very solid, like, maybe secondary scorer on a great team, that kind of thing. I don't think we saw the next Maya Moore coming, but the other night she played like Maya Moore, and she has in the playoffs, and it is a complete all-around game. I don't like WNBA to NBA comparisons, but it's her quiet nature is very Tim Duncan-like, where it's she's not out there, she's not demonstrative, she's not doing a lot of self-promotion. She just plays every single possession right and hard and is so effective and has so many different things in her bag, where she made 12 out of 14 free throws. So she's taking the punishment, getting to the hoop. She made 2 out of 3 3-pointers. She's shooting from deep. She had fadeaways, layups, plays out of the post, and kickouts. She added 4 assists. She scored 42 points and had 4 assists. I mean, it was one of the best basketball games I've ever seen by anyone in person before.
Defensive player of the year. I mean, we're extolling all these things offensively, and they said she's the best defensive player in the game. You know, we've had this debate in town, you know, of you got Edwards, you got Kaprizov, and you got JJ. Yep. Like, who's the top superstar right now? None of the three right now, because as they're all great, none of them finished second in MVP voting while also winning Defensive Player of the Year. That's one person.
And the crazy thing about that, there's two things that go to Cheryl Reeves' credit. The Defensive Player of the Year, she's had to play the four when she really is probably a three. And so she's taken on the Breanna Stewarts, and she was guarding Asia Wilson more than you would ever want her doing that when they were playing Vegas and beating Vegas. And so trusting her technique to be able to, and her effort to play like that was really something. The other thing is, too, that Cheryl Reeves, for about 3 years, was demanding that Nafisa Collier became the best player she could be. And she said at one point that she told Fee, the other team better know every night who our best player is, and it's you. And since then, her aggressiveness has gone through the roof, and her confidence has gone through the roof, and it's just really been something to see the synergy between the coach and the player like that. And I think our friend Patrick Royce, who is a Cheryl Reeves doubter, I think even he had to admit this is one of the best coaching jobs we've seen.
And general manager, right? The fact that it's the combination, what she's pulling off. All right, sir. I'll be paying attention on Sunday. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Paying attention to the Lynx, too, on Sunday, because they open with the Sun in the semifinals. Am I wrong? And also a quick immigration note after weather, just to get him going. I mean, I got to throw another one in. I mean, it's a 34. We just got to eat in the time.
You're already chewing quite a bit off.
Did I mention that tune I made?